you would help each one of us to look into thy word and to see the things you'd have us to see. We ask that you bless the word now and give me the words to preach and teach. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. If you would, turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. I'm teaching through the book of John and through the book of Acts and actually through the book of Philippians. We hadn't been there for a while. But we are in Acts chapter 10. I went through and finished Acts chapter 9, but I did mention that at the end of Acts chapter 9, you've got Peter starting to see some things during this transitional period. He's starting to see some things about how God is changing. I mean, the fact that he's just found at the end of chapter 9 in the house of a tanner. A tanner deals with dead bodies. And in Leviticus chapter 21, the Jew was near any dead body. In Numbers chapter 19, touch a dead body, you're unclean 7 days. Here he is in the house of a tanner. Staying there, and he's a devout Jew. But yet he knows that some things are changing. And for him, it's an amazing thing. For the church, it's an amazing thing because God's dealing with the Jews up until this time. Yes, you got the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. You got Saul on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, and he gets saved. And, you know, now you're back to Peter. You're going to see Peter in Acts chapter 10, a little bit in 11. In Acts chapter 13, through the rest of the book of Acts, you got the guy named Paul, whose name is Saul. And he's going to preach the message that God has for him for mainly the church. He's going to go to the Jew first, Romans 1:16. Then he's going to go to the Gentiles. He's going to go in the synagogue first. And then he's going to turn to the Gentiles. You'll see that specifically in Acts chapter 13, 18, and 28. So, we're in Acts 10. And Peter now is seeing things. He's in the house of that tanner. The strict boundaries of the law are being done with. And now he's going to be told by God to go to a Gentile. But he's got to get this message clearly. And how he's going to get that message is God's going to send down a sheet with a bunch of unclean animals and tell Peter to eat. He's going to say, "Not so, Lord." And I don't know about you, but I know better than telling Lord no. But he told the Lord no 3 times. And he didn't eat. But then while he's pondering on that thing, he gets... And we'll pick that up as we go through. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band." Some say he played the bass guitar. We don't know that for... Thank you for the few laughs. Are you getting it? The Italian band, the bass guitar? Okay. Just making sure that you're paying attention for sure. But his name is Cornelius. Now he's a centurion. I want to tell you about a centurion first. In the Roman military, you had a legion. A legion had 6,000 in there. And in that legion, you had 670 cohorts of 600 each. And 6 centurions, I'm sorry, you had 10 cohorts of 600 each, and 6 centurions of 100. Remember, a century is 100 years. That's how you remember what a centurion is. And a centurion is over the centuries. You had 10 cohorts of 60 or 600, and then you had 6 centuries. If you remember Jesus in Matthew 26, Jesus said, "I could call 12 legions of angels." Right now, 12 legions of angels. How many is that? That's 72,000 angels. He could call them. An angel in 2 Kings chapter 19 killed 185,000 Assyrians. So I did the math this morning. If he could call 12 legions, 72,000 angels, and one angel killed 185,000, that would be the equivalent of those angels, those legions of angels, killing 13 billion. You see, it's, when you put it in perspective, it's like, wow, I mean, really, listen, God can protect you. If he called one legion, he could have killed 185,000, one angel, excuse me. But he said, "I could call right now and God would send me 12 legions." Do you think God's limited to 12 legions or was that just a matter of speaking? He's just saying, I could call right now and God will send me 12 legions. He could have said 120 legions. He could have said one angel and it would have been sufficient. He wasn't looking to escape. He didn't need Peter to take out his sword and cut off Malchus's ear. He needed just the to do exactly what he told them. They're going to take me captive. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm on the cross, and there's a reason for that. So as you look at this thing, again, Cornelius, he's a centurion. He's got 100 officers under him. So look at verse 2. Who is Cornelius? He's a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He gave alms. He gave money. He's a devout man, but he's not a saved man. He's not a saved man until he comes face to face with the gospel. Peter's going to bring the gospel to him. We're not going to get to that this morning because it's a rather long chapter, but we're going to get up to the point where Peter does arrive at the house. Peter's still wondering in himself what all this means, but he knows that God is telling him to now reach the Gentiles. Praise God, because that means us. I don't know if any of you are here Jews or converted Jews, but most likely all of us are Gentiles. God's opening up this door. God is no longer going to be dealing with and through the Jews. In fact, He's going to turn to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to evangelize the world for the next 2,000 years in order to make the Jews jealous. That's what He says in His Bible. Look at verse 3. He saw in a vision, this is Peter, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that's about 3 p.m., an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. Well, especially if he called me Cornelius. Just kidding. Verse 4. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa. That's about 30 miles away. It's more than a day's journey. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. Do you know why we have the gospel given to us? So we can tell people what thou oughtest to do. We have the gospel in order that we can go and we can tell them about Jesus dying on that cross, about the fact that He shed His blood. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. He tells us what we do with the gospel. What do with it? We share it. We're ambassadors for Christ, the Bible says. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, sometimes you don't get the whole story. You read in the Bible over and over again that, you know, sometimes God says, you know, go. You think about the servant, Abraham's servant, in the way the Lord led me. Very famous verse. He was, while he was in the way, the Lord was leading him. Sometimes you get the whole story. Here, Cornelius is saying, hey, probably this. Hey, does this make sense to you? I want to tell you the whole thing so that you can tell Peter. And by the way, when he gets to Peter, Peter asks them twice, why are you here? So maybe the reason that Cornelius told them so much information is because they needed to know to convey it to Peter. Peter doesn't even have the full revelation understanding yet. So verse 7, when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, they went there and they went to Joppa. Verse 9, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. So it's about noon, about lunchtime, it's noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Now, look, don't try to fall into a trance. Don't play around with transcendental meditation. Don't play around with the Eastern religions. Don't play around with things that you don't understand what it may bring into your life. This is different. This is a transition period. God is doing it this way and God is telling us about us, but He doesn't want us to get mixed up in those things. I don't need to be in trance. I was almost hypnotized twice, though. Once when I was 18 or 19 years old in a bar here in Fort Walton Beach, I wanted to be hypnotized. My arm started going up and the guy next to me says, "They got Doug," and it fell back down. I remember what that was like. And then about 25 years later, I was in a house and there were some Mormons there, and I've told you the story, and they were convince us that the Mormon religion was true. And all of a sudden, I felt that same euphoric feeling as though I was going back into hypnotism. And I had my finger on a verse, and he paused. And I looked down at that verse, and I read that verse to them. And they closed up their books, and they said, "You've ruined the spirit here, we're leaving." And I told the church member, I said, "Don't ever invite them in your house again. You're told not to do that." And they did it anyway, and they did it ignorantly. And this was the fourth time they were there. And I was there for all four times because they invited me over. And I was trying to be understanding. They were new members. They didn't know much. And listen, he watches online quite a bit. He's a colonel. I don't remember where they are right now. Wherever you are, good to see you again. But I want you to understand that, look, you don't want to mess with this stuff. You learn your Bible to stay out of it. You learn your Bible to understand that there are certain areas you don't get into, and you don't break the Scripture because you may not get away. Now think about it. You know what the thought was that I was getting in my mind? These are really nice guys. These are really good people. That's the thought that was going in there and going in there and going in there. Now what if I didn't have my finger on the Scripture and wouldn't have, let's say, broken the spell? I don't know. I'm just telling you, I warn you, and I'm going to warn you about something else because I need to tell you, because two people I know now have gotten nabbed by it. If you get some email from Norton or McAfee or any of those security services, you need to be careful. They'll tell you that they have charged you $2.99 or they've charged you some money, and then you can look it up online and get the phone number, but those phone numbers sometimes are bogus, and you call in. And they go, "Oh yeah, we're Norton. Oh yeah, we're McAfee. Well, we need to get on your computer and we need to fix this thing and get your money back for you." They gain access, and they're not McAfee and they're not Norton. And they gain access. And then they said, "Oh no, what did you hit? You hit a button? I just sent you $3,000. Oh, you know, we need to get it back. I'm going to lose my job." And this is how some... And then they get you to do something and give them access to some money, and then you're out. So realize that is going on. I know two people very intimately, and you do too. In some cases, you know the stories. It happens, and I want to warn you. It'll seem so legit, and you know who they really get? They get good people that care for the guy that's going to lose his job. Isn't that terrible that they go after the people? Listen, people that don't care whether you lose their job is going to keep the $3,000. The one they're going to get are the people that have a heart. Isn't that terrible that that's who they're abusing? And by the way, it happens to elderly people every single day. Not that these guys are elderly. They're not. I mean, they're old, but they're not elderly. Just kidding. Just kidding. I need to give that to you. It's my public service announcement for today because you need to hear that. And we did it on a Wednesday night offline, and then somebody else got hit by it. So I want this out on video because I want anybody that hears it to be warned. Do not trust this scam. So go on to verse 11. And he saw heaven open. He's in this trance. He saw heaven open. And a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. You read Leviticus chapter 11, and they had dietary laws. They weren't allowed to eat any of this. But remember, Peter is learning the difference. He was just with the tanner. He was just with and around dead bodies. And he's understanding that things are changing. Here are the dietary laws. He says, you know, this thing's coming down, and I see it. I'm like, oh no, what is this? What is going on? Verse 13, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Well, he's in the house of a tanner, though. Peter, what in the world? How can you, you know,
In other words, I'm going to take this part of the law, but forget about this part. I'm going to be a cafeteria Hebrew. You can't be that. By the way, you shouldn't be a cafeteria Christian either. You ought to accept the truth, want to live the truth, draw as close to God. The Bible says, you draw nigh unto me and I'll draw nigh unto you. You don't go, well, I'm going to draw a little bit closer to God. No, He wants you to draw nigh unto Him. And He promises if you'll do that, I'll draw nigh unto you. He doesn't want you to pick and choose and say, well, you know what? I'm going to do this much, but not this much. I'm going to get this close, but not too close. I'm going to stay 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church, so to speak. Not that the church is perfect. And the church isn't this building anyway. I'm just making that as an example. You need to decide, am I going to be sold out for the Lord? Or am I going to be a little lukewarm? You know what that is. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarm's no good. Now, I get it. There are people that live at different levels of Christianity. You don't have to do what I do. I don't have to do what you do. I don't have to put my things on you and say, hey, my standards need to be your standards. No, that's not the way it works. You need to get alone with God and find out what God wants you to do in your life. How does He want you to live? How does He want you to treat people? Now, I can tell you a few things. He wants you to have charity. He wants you to edify others. See, I can tell you generalities. But I can't tell you, well, you got to go and you got to visit 47 of your neighbors this afternoon in order to be right with God. No. First of all, it's impossible, probably. And secondly, it's me trying to put something on you that I can't give you scripture and verse for. Should you talk about the Lord? Sure you should. To what extent? That's between you and God. And that's what I want you to understand. But a good ambassador, which is what we all are if we're saved, is going to talk more and not less. He's going to point people to Jesus more and not less. So that thing's coming down, the sheets come down. Peter's told to eat. He says, not so, Lord. And then verse 15, and here's the point. And the voice spake unto him again the second time. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, that's three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. So what do you have? He's teaching a greater truth. Don't get caught up in the dietary laws. There is nothing wrong in a dietary fashion of eating shrimp. I know that because I would be dead right now if there was a problem with it. But the Jews weren't allowed to eat shrimp. There's nothing wrong with eating pork, but the Jews aren't allowed to eat pork. You say, well, I thought pork's bad for you. Yeah, so is butter. They want margarine. Remember that? Just be careful. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you're taught. And realize that the dietary laws were given to Israel for one purpose. To make them look different, act different, walk, talk. They were to be different. They were to dress differently. They were to have beards where you couldn't even cut the corners of them. They were to look so different. Why? Because God wanted them unique because He was choosing them as a nation. That's the way it's supposed to be. You don't have to look different. You ought to talk different. You ought to behave differently. But you don't have to wear a certain garb. You don't have to, it's not that way. We're not Jews. We're not Israel. These things were given to the nation of Israel so that they were a peculiar people. By the way, Christians are a peculiar people, but we're not under the dietary laws. Those dietary laws were given to the nation of Israel. Now, I know people that'll say, oh, no, you got to do the dietary laws under the law. Well, you know what Jesus, you know what Paul wrote? Those things were nailed to the cross. Those ordinances that were against us were nailed to the cross. You can't keep the law. One thing, keep the Sabbath holy. When's the Sabbath? Seventh day of the week. When's the seventh day of the week? That's Saturday. What are you doing at church on Sunday? Because things change. Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. They gathered together on the first day of the week. Things change the first day of the week by the crucifixion of Christ and the fact that we are the body of Christ. We are His believers. We are the church. The church is not Israel. Israel's not the church. And when you start trying to meld the two together, you get yourself in trouble. Let's stay out of trouble. Let's make the distinction. Now, there is neither Jew nor Gentile in the body of Christ. You are no longer a Gentile once you get saved. But it doesn't mean you weren't a Gentile. It means you were, but in the body of Christ, we're all one. There's neither male or female in the body of Christ. But I'm telling you, there's a women's room and there's a men's room out there. You want to know? There's a skirt on the women out there and there's drawers on the men. That means, you know, oh, what are you saying? I'm saying there's a distinction that we make. And we even put the word women and men on there for those that don't read pictorially. Whatever that means, if that's even a word. We put men and women out there. We want to make that distinction. We want to keep that distinction. But in the body of Christ, there aren't men and women anymore. That's just the way it is. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. We're all free in Christ. And yet we're all servants. It's an amazing thing if you study your Bible and you get it and you realize that the Bible is so deep and so fresh, it'll make such a difference in your walk and your talk and your life. This is why you come to church. You come to church to get encouraged to go out there and live another day in that. Look at verse 17. It says, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. You see, God can talk to your heart. The Spirit didn't go, three men are seeking. And listen, if you hear an audible voice, just take some Pepto-Bismol. He's going to speak mainly today through His Word. You speak to Him through your prayer, whether audible or not audible. In other words, you can pray from your heart, and you should pray from your heart. There are things that are changing and things that are going through the Scripture. And if you don't watch it, you end up getting messed up because you go, well, this is the way it's supposed to happen all today. Listen, the Spirit does, God does speak to your heart. I have it happen. But sometimes we'll say, oh, the Lord spoke to me. He did? What'd He say? Oh, well, I don't really mean I heard Him audibly. Good. Whew. When you say He spoke to me, you really mean that He touched my heart. He impressed upon my heart something. And that's what's... So it goes on and it says in verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You know it's hard not to doubt. But that's why they have the whole story. Remember Cornelius told him the whole thing? Because if Cornelius just said, hey, go find Peter. And they went over there and they said, you know, Peter, we're here. And Peter would say, well, tell me why you're here. I don't know. But they got to tell him everything that happened to Cornelius because Cornelius was led by God. And by the way, people can be led of God. And it's not just the pastor that's led of God. You ought to be led of God. The closer you get in your relationship with the Lord, the more that He ought to lead you. The more that you ought to understand what it means to be led by the Spirit. It goes on, verse 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? He's curious. Man, Lord told me to go, but I need to know. You see, he doubted. And now God's going to go ahead and give him some grace and give him some mercy and go ahead and soothe his doubts. You know, sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just have to do what God shows you to do and you don't have all the details. I've already said in my life, had I had all the details of my life all spelled out before I got on that path, I probably might have chose a different path every now and then. But because I didn't know, I went ahead and did what God wanted me to do. I went in the direction God wanted me to go. And guess what? 40 years later, God led me back here. And you guys were looking for a pastor. Thank God, glory, hallelujah. I didn't have all the answers. All I knew, I was supposed to pick up the phone, I was supposed to call this church here, and I was supposed to say, hey, I'd like to park my motorhome there on Wednesday night because this is the church that changed my life in 1980 and 1981. That's all I knew I was supposed to do. He didn't say, well, you're supposed to call them because they're looking for a pastor. Zero idea of that. Supposed to call them because they just had a difficult split and they need a new pastor, and he'd already dealt with me in January to be in the pastorate, and I was looking in Clewiston, Florida, and saying, hey, there's a church down there. Maybe this is where God wants me. I'm glad it wasn't. I'm glad I'm here. However, I didn't have all the answers. I didn't have somebody like Cornelius to, you know, that told his group. And I could go up to him and go, oh, by the way, tell me everything I'm supposed to do. Oh, I'm supposed to park here, and I'm supposed to stay here 1 week, and I'm supposed to go over there and preach in Milton and then come back and preach here. And then I'm supposed to go and do 30,000 miles, going to China and Canada and Indiana and get all that done and come down in May and candidate. And then in June, you're going to call me for the pastor. And then 3 years later, I'm still going to be here. I don't know about four, but I'll be here in three. See, I don't know everything. You don't know everything. We don't know everything. But you got to walk out by faith. Peter's doubting, and it costs you when you doubt. It's okay to doubt, though. I don't want to sound like I'm cold and I'm like indifferent to your doubts. We can have doubts. Let God solve your doubts. Let God give you the peace. Let God show you the way. And sometimes it helps to have counsel with others. Sometimes it helps to talk to others and bounce things off of them. I get that. Here's Peter. He's doubting. God already prepared the way. Does God know he's going to doubt before he doubts? Yes. So what did God do? Cornelius, go ahead and tell him everything. Then they get over there and they say, oh yeah, Cornelius, he saw a vision and this is what happened and this is what happened. He told us to go here and this is why. And they're supposed to come back with us. And he, you know, what's he told? Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with him, doubting nothing. But he's going to doubt. But he's going to go. Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel, warned from God, to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. He's warned about what? You can give all the money to the church you want to give, but you better be saved. Maybe that was the warning. You can be a godly person, but you better know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe that was the warning. We don't know. He was a devout man. He gave alms. He prayed, but he wasn't saved. Maybe he was warned that, listen, that's not enough to be religious. And by the way, being religious isn't enough. You must be born again. You must trust Jesus as your Savior. You must be saved. First time I went to church here in this city, 42 years ago, I didn't hear the gospel. I went and I heard preaching, and I heard preaching, and I heard preaching, and I never heard the gospel. And then one day, the guy that led me to the Lord, he said, I think Doug's ready. And they gave me the gospel that I was lost, that I was on my way to hell, that Jesus saves. And I needed to trust in Him and ask Him to save me. And I did that, and I got saved. And then I wanted to go back and ask the pastor, well, how come you never preached the gospel? How come you never told people that they're lost and that they need Jesus? And I know why it didn't happen. It didn't happen because some of the people sitting out there would have said, man, that's offensive. That scares me. I'm not saved. Why do I want to hear somebody tell me that I'm going to go to hell if I don't trust Jesus? And then maybe some people would leave the church and the numbers would lessen and there'd be less people there. But let me tell you something. I would not want to stand in heaven and be accountable for not telling people about Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. So you see, being religious is not enough, and that's what he warned them about. Verse 23, then called he them in and lodged them. So now he's going to lodge a bunch of Gentiles. And if you remember, if you read the Bible in Galatians, he's rebuked for separating himself from Gentiles whenever those from Jerusalem come down because of hypocrisy. Peter's human. You know what you are? You're human. Will you fail? Sure you'll fail. I fail. And I just want you to know what you do when you fail is you get back up and you get going again. You don't let it beat you up and knock you down and make you give up and quit. What you do is you say, oh, well, I use bad language around people and they're looking at me saying, oh, you're not a Christian. Or I didn't live perfectly. Listen, just don't think that God doesn't already know. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's loving. He's caring. And what He wants you to do is He wants you just to keep going, keep going. You say, well, I'm going to fail next week. You will. If you don't fail big, you'll fail small. And if you fail big, get it right big. If you fail small, welcome to the rest of our territory. Just don't quit. And I can tell you haven't quit because you're here. Verse 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he waited for them. You better believe he waited for them. And it called together his kinsmen and near friends. Boy, you never know what's going to happen. On Thursday night, we were invited, they visited here last Sunday night, some friends of ours that we're getting to know, and they invited us over to their house, and they, for the intent purpose of talking to people, some of them were saved, some of them weren't saved that were there. We sat around the table and we talked about the Lord. And I told my how things happened in 1982. And then I stopped at one point and I said, and we'll tell the rest of the story later. And then toward the end of the night, we were coming right there and the rest of the story was a perfect time. And I said, well, let me tell you the rest of the story. I stopped when the guy put the gun to my head, and I said three things. I was going to go to college at night, I was going to quit drinking so much, and I was going to go to church and find a wife. And that's where I stopped the story. So as far as the story was, I went to church to find a wife. And then they all looked at Judy and said, oh, yeah, I guess that worked out. It was 8 years later, but oh, you know. And that's where it stopped. And then later on, I brought the rest of the story. Well, I went to church and I heard the gospel because somebody, and they led me to the Lord, and I got saved and it changed my life. And that was toward the end of the night. And it was like 11:30. We were, and finally I was like, look, they said they got to go. We got to go. You know, we had 30-minute drive from Destin to get back over here. But that's what it's about. Here he is. What does he do? He gets all his friends and neighbors together. Look at that. You ought to try that sometime. You got neighbors, get them together. I'll come anytime, anywhere that I can. You want to get your neighbors together and say, hey, let's just have a fellowship together and have a cookout. Whatever it is, bring them next Sunday. Now, we're having it a Sunday instead of a Saturday, the fellowship. Bring them next Sunday because we got a fellowship after church. Bring them on a Saturday fellowship. I don't care if they... And listen, I'm not going to preach to them. I'm going to get them to know them, open up a door, shake their hand, show a smile to them, let them know that I don't have any, fangs. Because some people think you got fangs if you're a preacher. I don't want to have fangs. I want people to know, listen, I speak the truth in love. And then always, but I do now. So as you go on, look at what he said. In verse 25, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also a man. Boy, that's a good idea. And the one thing I would never, ever, ever want is somebody to fall down and worship me or think, more highly of me than they ought to think. And I spend a lot of time making sure nobody puts me on a pedestal. Because I don't want to be on a pedestal. Because if I'm on a pedestal and I allow it to happen, God has to knock me off that pedestal. That goes for you too. Don't get up. He says, get up. Verse 27, and as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation, but God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Ephesians chapter 3 says the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews. Peter saw that. He's starting to get that revelation. He's starting to realize that things are changing. Verse 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore. Here's going to ask again. For what intent ye have sent for me? By the way, sometimes the best way to get a conversation going is ask a question. Hey, where did you go to church? Well, I go here. And they'll tell you, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a non-denominational, and it tells you something about them. They tell you, I'm a Mormon, I'm a Muslim. It tells you something about them. If you studied religions like I have, you studied denominations like I have, it tells you something. Or I'm Church of Christ. It tells you something about them. And then you can use that question to delve into an area of the gospel that you want to talk about. Sometimes asking a question, and that's what he's doing. Tell me why you're here. Well, listen, I want to know you know why you want me here. And by the way, I want a second confirmation. That's probably Peter. He's doubting a little bit. He says, well, what do you want? Why am I here? Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, that's about 3 p.m., I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. It was an angel, remember? But he said he was a man. By the way, angels in the Bible, angels never have wings. Angels in the Bible are always men. It's not a sexist thing. It's not chauvinistic or whatever you can think of. It's just teaching the Bible. That doesn't mean some of you women aren't angels in reality now. I guess I just dig myself out a little bit, you know? I married an angel, okay? There you go. So did you. You men said amen, right? Good. We're just going to keep you all, you know, happy woman, happy home, whatever. So, I'm in the wrong column. No wonder I couldn't figure this out. Verse 31, and Cornelius, he says about the ninth hour, verse 30, he came in bright clothing. He said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa. Call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. By the way, if God sends you, you better be ready to speak. You can simply give your testimony. If I just tell people what happened to me 42 years ago, I was lost. I tell, you know, the story, guy put a gun to my head, that's it, I moved off the island, blah, blah, you know, and I go into the story a little bit, but the point I'm going to get to is this. Then I realized when somebody told me I was a sinner and that I needed Jesus, I found out I needed Jesus. And I accepted Him as my Savior, and my whole life changed. 42 years ago. It is the demarcation. I was going like this, and the whole thing, my whole life went that direction. Verse 33, and this is what I'm going to close on. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Boy, wouldn't you like to knock on somebody's door and they say, listen, I know God sent you by my house. And listen, I've been to places and knocked on doors and I was sent there really by God, no doubt about it. Or I've gone to a job, or I've gone to another home, or I've gone to a store and God sent me there. Now, it's not this, you know, woo. It's just, you stay in tune with God, praying for opportunities. And then when the opportunity comes, you have to see it for what it is. It is an opportunity to talk to them about the Lord. And he said, I want to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, we're going to pick this up next week. And it is the most, to me, one of the most amazing stories, because Peter's going to start preaching. And he's going to tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection. But he's never going to give the invitation. You know how we do an invitation? Oh, come forward and get saved. You don't have to come forward an invitation to be saved. You can be saved right where you are. Trust Jesus Christ. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to forgive your sins. You can be saved right where you are, right now. You don't have to wait until we start praying. You got to trust in Jesus, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Peter's going to be preaching, and then all of a sudden he's going to be interrupted with salvation. And he's like, and see, back then they had evidence of salvation. And that's what you'll see in the rest of Acts chapter 10. And then the story's retold in Acts chapter 11 just to make sure you understand how the thing went through there. But we need to understand those things because they're very important for us to understand. And I said next Sunday, maybe Wednesday night, I'm not sure I'll get back into this. I know we're going to, tonight I'll be teaching John. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. I just pray, Lord, that each one of us will always tell the things that we are commanded to tell to those that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to be faithful servants. Help us to be godly. Help us to be witnesses. Help us to be good ambassadors. Help us to tell a lost and dying world that Jesus died for them and they can be saved by simply trusting in Him. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Would you all stand to your feet with your head bowed and eyes closed as the music plays? I don't always do this, but I just want you to